The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. Today is Thursday, May the 1st. It is the National Day of Prayer, the 74th Annual National Day of Prayer. We just got finished at First Baptist Texarkana praying for the nation, praying for our president, praying for our national leaders, praying for the courts, praying for our police department and law enforcement agents and our military, and for our families and churches and pastors and college students and high school students. So it was a great time of prayer this morning. I kicked off the prayer meeting today at First Baptist by reading from Psalm 33. You know, when we come before the Lord to pray, we need to remember how great God is. And this is what Psalm 33 tells us, beginning in verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsels of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. We say, Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we could also say, cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. And so our challenge as Christians living in America today is to seek the Lord with all our hearts, to get our lives right with him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, not just Old Testament saints, but the people of God, so us today as the bride of Christ, as the church, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, God says, will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Our land desperately needs healing. Revival desperately needs to come to America. And it starts with us as believers getting our hearts right with the Lord and really seeking his face, not his hand, not what he can do for us, but his face, that we want him. We don't want his things. We don't want his blessings as much as we want him, his presence. Well, to help me on this National Day of Prayer, I've asked my good friend, evangelist and Marine Tim Lee. Tim has been at our church on numerous occasions, a great ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ and a solid preacher evangelist. And Tim is unique because in Vietnam, he fought in Vietnam, and on March 8th, 1971, he stepped on a landmine and lost both his legs. But God used that tragedy to turn things around in his life. And so, Tim, my friend, thanks for coming on today.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Pastor Jeff, it's awesome to be with you, and I'm looking forward to this discussion. And as important as it is, I can't think of anything more important right now than prayer and America and a burden that I have for real revival. I was really enjoying what you were just saying about this very subject.
Well, Tim, I think it's safe to say you are a super patriot, and you love our country. And how would you, you know, everybody's talking about the first 100 days in office, President Trump, and I've said before on the program, I think that President Trump getting in office was a direct answer to the prayers of the saints as we prayed for God to give America one last chance. It seemed like we were going to just go so far left that we were going to fall off a cliff. But this doesn't ensure anything in terms of spiritual revival. That comes from the believers, and so I think they work in tandem. How do you see that?
Same thing. I've been saying since November 5th that I believe God has given us a reprieve, not that we deserved it. We know we deserve judgment, and yet we got mercy. And as far as the election went, and so I'm telling people everywhere, churches where I go, that the politicians have done their thing and now are doing their thing, and I see a lot of great things happening, and I know there's belt tightening time right now for a lot of people, but the politicians are doing their thing. Now it's time for the pastors and the church to step up and do what we're supposed to do, and talking about spiritual matters and leading in this realm. And so I see hope, and I'm a very optimistic person, of course, but I attended an event last night in honor of the 50th anniversary of the downfall of Saigon. It was April 30th, 1975, when Saigon fell, and there was over 500 Vietnam veterans and also veterans from Vietnam that had come here as boat people. And we prayed last night, and I led the invocation, led the benediction as well. And, you know, there was such a warmth in that room and a reception to what I was saying about, you know, in my prayers, especially about us returning to God and what you were talking about, real revival in our generation. So I think there's hope. I am a patriot. I love America. And if I would go 10,000 miles away from home and fight in Vietnam, give my legs to my country there, then you better believe I'm going to fight for America here. There's, you know, I've said thousands of times, there's things worth living for, there's things worth fighting for, and if needs be, there are things worth dying for. And when I think about America, and I think about my children, and think about my grandchildren especially, probably my grandchildren more than any other generation, I want to spend my last years fighting for what's right in this country and serving the Lord.
Amen to that. Well, Tim, as a veteran, Marine Corps veteran, how do you see, from your perspective, how veterans are treated in America? And, you know, we see all these giveaways to illegal aliens and then guys that served our country and lost their legs or lost limbs or all the health issues associated with that. They have difficulty getting medical care, or the medical care is not very good at the VA. How do you see how we treat veterans in general?
Well, let me go back to last night's event again. And we did talk about, you know, did we learn anything from Vietnam? And when I came back from Vietnam, I came back, of course, went to from a medevac chopper to the hospital ship USS Sanctuary, and then from there to the Naval Hospital in Guam, and then from there to Naval Hospital for 8 months in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I came back the sanitary way, but a lot of my brothers came back. They were spit upon and bags of urine thrown at them and were told not to wear their uniform and were called horrible, terrible names. And I think since Vietnam, America has learned how to say thank you when these men and women alike came back from Iraq and Afghanistan. When you would go out to the airport, the people that were welcoming them back many times were Vietnam veterans, and these Vietnam veterans were not going to let happen to the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans what had happened to them. So learn how to say thank you and be appreciative for what we have. And these young people today, these Iraq and Afghanistan men and women, a lot of people have no idea what kind of sacrifices these people have made for our country. We're talking about 3 tours, 4 tours, 6 tours, sometimes 8 and 9 tours or more of duty that they served in Iraq and Afghanistan. They saw atrocious things, horrible things war that no one should ever have to see, especially a young person, age 19, 20 years of age. And so if anyone deserves our respect and if anyone deserves the best, I hear these politicians every election cycle, our veterans deserve the best. Well, then the best is not the VA system, because our VA system in many ways is broken. And I can tell you horror stories from my own personal experience, and it should not be like that. Whatever the very best is that is being given in America, that's what our veterans should be receiving. I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking especially about the young men and these young women that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan. So it is a pet peeve of mine that if you're going to tell us that they deserve the best, then let's start giving them the absolute best.
I agree with that for sure. Well, Tim, Pete Hegseth is our Secretary of Defense, and he is under fire. He's an outspoken Christian, not a perfect guy. He owns all the sins, but he says he's given his life to Christ. He's not ashamed of Jesus. What's your opinion of him and the job he's been doing so far?
Well, I love Pete, and I think he's the man for the job. I stand 100% behind him. And you know, lots of times you can find out who's on the right side, but who it is that's on the other side, and who it is that's throwing these stones, and who it is that's being the loudest and being the most critical. And we know who that is, of course. So I just take it with a grain of salt, and I think Donald Trump has picked him his best team. You know, I'm grateful that he had those first 4 years, but he was shot at so much and impeached, and so much went on, and I think he learned that. I think maybe God orchestrated this whole thing, gave us 4 years of Biden so we can appreciate what we have now. And I mean, the other night he stood there for 90 minutes and talked, and our former president would have trouble standing for 90 seconds and talking. And so it's, I think he's picked out an unbelievable team. I don't know anybody on that team that I am in disagreement with. And I think our president has just learned a lot from those first 4 years, and now he's ready to rock and roll, and we're just getting started. I mean, you just think about it. It's just been a little over 3 months, and what this man and this administration has accomplished in 3 months, wow. That's it, just wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Okay, so Tim, because I know you're a fighter, and you're a Marine, and once a Marine, always a Marine. President Trump gets blistered by the media because he's so blunt. And I was telling some guys just before the program, you know, if Trump likes you, he's very, very kind and generous and magnanimous to you. If he doesn't like you because you've gone after him or something like that, he'll just torch you. So what do you say to the Christian or the, and don't mean this so derogatorily, but the bleeding heart that says you're not supposed to do that, you're the president, you're supposed to be so kind and magnanimous to everybody. How would you reconcile that as a believer and as a patriot and as a fighter yourself?
Well, you know, I say, you know, just toughen your hide up just a little bit, because Trump is Trump. And I, you know, I don't agree with Trump probably 5% of the time, and most of it has to do with language and the treatment of others. There are sometimes I wish he wouldn't say what he does, but that is Donald Trump, and you're not going to change that, and I'm not going to change that. And then sometimes he says stuff, and it is kind of mean, but I find myself laughing out loud. But I said last night, people ask me what I would have done if I'd have been in charge of Vietnam, and I tell them I would have got every B-52 bomber I could have found. And at about the time Jane Fonda was sitting in Hanoi drinking tea with the enemy, I would have lowered those bombs on Jane Fonda and North Vietnam and South Vietnam would be still a free country today. And people laugh, and then someone will invariably come up to me after I say a statement like this, say, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. And I always tell them, yes, I know it, I am a Christian, but I'm not perfect, so you just have to forgive me. And
yeah.
So, and, you know, I still have trouble with Jane Fonda, and Donald Trump has trouble with, I don't blame him. I mean, these people have come after him. They've stuck knives in his back. They've criticized, and they're, you know, I know the Bible says you and I'd be better at this than he would be, but turn the other cheek and that we, you know, we're forgive 7 times 70, and we get that, we understand that. But there are also times when, you know, silence can be golden. Sometimes silence can be yelling. There's sometimes when you have to draw a line in the sand, and say enough is enough.
Yes.
And I think Trump has said it. Enough is enough, and we're just not going to play that game anymore.
Yes. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Evangelist Marine Tim Lee. Today is the National Day of Prayer, and we need prayer for our nation. Don't go away. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why everyday Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life or the death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, the mother will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Marine Tim Lee, Evangelist Marine Tim Lee, my good friend and a man who gave both of his legs to America as he was fighting in South Vietnam, lost his legs in March of 1971. Tim, one thing I love about you, many things I love about you, but one thing is that you don't give up. And, you know, when Christians have bad things happen to them, you were kind of a lukewarm Christian when you lost your legs, and that God used that to really strengthen your faith, or were you not a believer at all when you lost your legs?
Yeah, no, I was a believer. I was raised in a pastor's home. My dad was Southern Baptist pastor for almost 60 years, and I became a Christian at a young age, at the age of 10. And but then as a teenager, I got away from God, and really, I really messed up my life, got far, far away from God. My life was a total disaster and rebellious, running from the Lord, out of the will of God, caused my parents a lot of heartache, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of trouble. My mom would go to bed many nights, wetting her pillow with tears over her oldest son, prodigal son. And so I ended up getting kicked out of college, ended up getting fired from my job. And then I end up joining the Marine Corps. I tell young people I was tired of living at home. I was tired of being told what to do and what not to do, what time to go to bed, what time to get out of bed. So I joined the United States Marine Corps, and that was out of the frying pan into the fire. But the Marine Corps helped me, not spiritually, but it helped me get my life organized, helped me get my life back together and life on focus. And I actually became a gung-ho Marine. I wanted to be a Marine. I actually had decided that I was going to make a career out of the Marine Corps. And but then the fateful day of March the 8th, 1971, stepped on that 60-pound mine and Jeff, I should have been killed instantly. It was a big enough mine to destroy a Jeep. We had entered a major minefield at the exact moment that I stepped on a mine. A South Korean Marine was serving with us, stepped on a mine, lost one of his legs. Our bulldozer driver set his blade down on a mine. And now there's noise and chaos and confusion, and I'm in extreme pain. I was only unconscious for a couple of minutes. I realized that I had been hit. And one of my best friends, well, it was my best friend in Vietnam, was Corporal Lee Gore, Black Marine from North Carolina. Him and I became best of friends. We flew over to Vietnam on the same plane. And he was a Christian, but he was living for God. He wasn't running from God like me. He was living for the Lord, reading his Bible every day, talking to other Marines about the Lord. And I knew this was the story. This is the life that I was supposed to have. And that day, with my head in his lap, he had big old tears run down his face, and all these things happening around us, and he's praying out loud. He's praying and praying for me. He's asking God to help me. And so that day I prayed. I don't remember, of course, the exact words. There was something like a plea, God, if you'll let me live. And I wanted to live. I didn't want to die. And God, if you'll let me live, I'll do with my life what you want me to do. But I made a lot of promises to God on other occasions, but I never meant it like I meant it that day. And of course, they came with a medevac chopper, came in the hospital ship. Second day I was on that ship, a couple of doctors didn't think I was going to survive. Infection had set in, so many complications, such a high degree of fever and so many other things. But God had a plan for my life. 2 weeks on the ship, 2 weeks on the island of Guam, 187 pounds down to 80 pounds. Away, and then to Philadelphia, where surgery after surgery after surgery. And before we leave today, if we get a chance, I'd like to talk about a miracle that God did because of prayer, this being the National Day of Prayer, because of prayer, what God did. Otherwise, you and I would not be having this conversation today. We wouldn't be talking at all.
Well, you detail that in your book, Born on the 5th of July. Tim, I think I told you I read that book, couldn't put it down. I think I read it in 2 or 3 days. It's just a fascinating retelling of your life and how the Lord has brought you through so many things. And, you know, Tim, when we think about the Christian life and we think, well, you know, if I trust Christ, that's the end of my problems. Obviously, it's the front end, because you've had lots of problems and heartaches since you've trusted Christ. But the Lord is there to see you through. And I woke up this morning, Tim, thinking about your dear granddaughter who went home to be with the Lord. And that was just a few years ago. Does that pain ever go away?
Well, it has subsided. It doesn't ever go away, and we miss Allie so much. Jeff, she was the whole deal. She was beautiful. She was smart, super smart. She was athletic. That girl just did it all. She couldn't stand bullies at all. She would defend her friends. She was fiercely loyal. And she loved Jesus. I mean, she was a soul winner. She was 16 years old and would lead people to the Lord. She's unbelievable. And so we miss her. We don't understand all of this. You know, Hugh Hefner, the Playboy magnate, got to live to be 89 years old, and Allie went to heaven when she was 16. We don't understand all that, but we are going to trust God. We're not going to turn our back on God. We don't get it all, but we trust God, and that's the main thing. When people have horrible things happen in their life, the worst thing you can do is get bitter or get angry or shake your fist at God and turn your back on God and leave the church. That's the worst things you can do. The best thing you can do is run to God. The best thing you can do is to hang into that church and that local church and surround yourself with people that will love you and pray for you and encourage you and help you and bless you. And that's what happened to us. When Allie went to heaven, people came from everywhere. I counted one time there were 8 former presidents of the SBC that called me and talked to me and ministered to us whenever we were going through that serious trial. And then people, of course, from all over America and even parts of the world surrounded us with prayer and love. And so you need the church. Everybody needs a good Bible-believing church, a good local New Testament church. Everybody needs a church. because it's not a matter of if trials are coming, it's a matter of when the trials are coming.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Tim, with your attitude of trusting the Lord, even in the midst of difficulty, and you know, from Vietnam even to the trials and tragedies of today, have you had opportunities to talk to fellow soldiers who were injured in war? I keep thinking about that scene from Forrest Gump where Lieutenant Dan lost his legs and was so angry and so bitter. Have you had some opportunities like that with fellow soldiers?
Absolutely. Ever since I came back from Vietnam and when I surrendered my life to the ministry, God began to open up those doors sometimes on an individual basis, one-on-one, and then sometimes in groups of, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, sometimes even far more than that. I remember a specific time that I was in California, Modesto, California. There was a group of Vietnam veterans that wanted to talk to me after a service. And when I saw them, I knew immediately what I was getting myself into. They came in barefooted. They came in ragtag. They came in and to be quite frank with you, Jeff, they were angry. They were mad. And I think they thought they were going to cross this preacher up and get me angry and mad myself. But I've never been bitter. I've never been angry about what happened to me on March the 8th, 1971. And the truth of the matter is, I never expected a parade when I came back from Vietnam. We just did our duty. So did the Korean veterans. Korean veterans didn't have parades for them and celebrations. They just went to Korea. Over 35,000 Americans lost their lives in Korea, but there were no parades. There were no welcoming home ceremonies. But they came back. They got married. They got a job. They paid their taxes. They raised their children. They saluted the flag. And so... These group of veterans in California started in complaining and griping, and they just went down the road. And I said, look, guys, I said, look right up here. I said, look at me. I'm in a wheelchair. My legs are gone. Not a one of them was missing a limb. And I said, I could get bitter. I could get angry. I could get mad at my government. But I said, what good is that going to do? And so I could be able to say things to them that other people that not in my position to be able to say. Mm-hmm. And they started listening to me, and we ended up having a great conversation. I ended up being able to get the gospel to them and tell them about the love of God, the love of Jesus. So God has opened up so many opportunities, and of course we were able to go on many, many military bases over the years, and those doors still open on occasion for us to go in and talk and give our story and give our testimony. So I take advantage of that. When God opens those doors, we go through them, because that's one of the greatest mission fields in the world is those that have served and those that are currently serving as well.
Okay, Tim, we hear a lot about DEI, and with Trump being elected and Pete Hegseth being the Secretary of Defense, they are eradicating DEI from our military. As a Marine Corps veteran, you had to just cringe and wince when you would see what was happening under the Biden administration with our armed forces. How do you feel now?
Now, they were literally ruining, destroying our military from within. And you know, I've often said that I am concerned about the enemy in North Korea and Iran and China and other places as well. But I'm more concerned about the enemy that's in America, the people that are in this country that wants to destroy America from within. And that's the enemy I think we need to have our eye on the most, always looking on the outside as well. But looking on the inside, these people that brought this corruption, this wickedness, it was designed to weaken us. It was designed to bring us down. And thank God I stood, and I know many other preachers stood against this DEI strong. We took a strong stand and in our churches, and I serve on the board of a major university in America. We took a strong stand against this stuff. This is not where we're going. This is not who we are. This is not what we're about. And now the tide has turned, and major corporations are changing their minds on this subject realize that they're on the wrong side of this issue. And there were people that were making money off of this stuff. They were actually blackmailing these companies and holding them hostage to get this stuff put in. And now they're waking up and they're seeing the writing on the wall, and they're changing their mind. Thank God it's not too late, and these great decisions are being made in these corporations. Of course, in our military now, it's on the way out, and our government is on the way out, and that's a good, good thing.
Tim, with your involvement at Liberty University, and as we were seeing all these anti-Semitic pro-Hamas rallies on campuses, Harvard University just horrible, and some of those other Ivy League schools, how has Liberty kept that kind of stuff away?
Yeah, it's a lot of it. Of course, our leadership, we have the absolute greatest president, two-star generals. Don DeCosta spent 22 years in the military, and this guy is unbelievable. I just love him. He says he's just a miracle. God sent him to us, and so he's been such a strong leader that our board of trustees has taken a stand and have just been remarkable in positioning ourselves that we're not letting this happen. And besides that, our young people at Liberty, we have over 17,000 on the campus, and we have over 150,000 enrolled in total enrollment in Liberty University right now. But these young people today at Liberty, they're not it. They love Israel. We love Israel, and we don't make any apologies for it. And so we are the direct opposite of what Harvard and Yale and Princeton and all these other universities are promoting and advocating for. And, you know, allowing strangers to come to America and begin to dictate on their college campuses what's going to be. And I keep going back to last night, but it's so fresh in my mind. I told them last night that I don't mind people coming here from other countries. If I lived in one of those third world countries, I'd probably be trying to come and live in America too. But you know, Jeff, two things I told them last night. If you're going to come to America, number one, come legally. Right. You have to get in line. You have to do it the right way. And then number two, if you come to America and then you look around and you decide you don't like what we're about, don't try to change America into where you came from. Go back to where you came from. And of course, I got a standing ovation for saying that last night, but that is the absolute truth. If you don't like it here, go back where you came from and quit trying to make America into where you came from. This is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Why would we want to go back to living like in a country like where you came from? You came here for a reason, because you thought America was great or better. That's the way immigrants used to think. They came here for opportunity and to better themselves. Now they come for free stuff, and they come to take advantage and run over us. And so thank God we have a president, leadership. Liberty University, it's not going to happen on that campus. There's no desire for it to happen. No one wants it to happen. It's not going to happen. But we've got a great leadership team there taking a great stand, and it's an exciting place.
Hey, Tim, has it been surprising to you to see our so many college campuses taken over and overrun by that stuff?
Yeah, it blows my mind. These leaders, I can't believe that the supporters and the people that send them money would want that. And I know some of them are losing money because of their position and their approach to this. And some, I mean, after a while, this is going to be the nutcases are going to take over the insane asylum. They're going to be running the university. So I do think that these college presidents and the trustee boards and the leadership would be looking out for their own jobs, saying, hey, man, maybe I better stop this, because they're going to be coming for me after a while.
Yeah, it is shocking. You know, a place, Harvard was always, talked about in the highest terms. This is where you want to go. This is the primo, the cream of the crop. And now we're seeing that it's just being destroyed from within. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Marine Tim Lee, Evangelist Tim Lee. And this is the National Day of Prayer. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Marine Tim Lee, Evangelist Tim Lee. We're talking on this day, the National Day of Prayer. We started off the program reading from Psalm 33, and it says that in verse 10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Tim, Donald Trump was laughed at when he ran for president the first time in 2016. People thought he was a joke and just a guy on television that had the apprentice. Then he became president. They were shocked. They were humiliated. They were forlorn that Hillary wasn't the president. And then they cheered with all exuberation when Joe Biden won in 2020, and now they're more forlorn than ever. We have a divided nation because Donald Trump, he's not just somebody that, well, I don't care for him. You either love him or hate him. Doesn't seem to be much in between. And Tim, as we think about the National Day of Prayer and we think about God healing our land, how do you think that people can come together and America can be healed, because it seems to be such a divide between conservatives and liberals?
Yeah, there is so much hatred. I've never seen it on this level. You know, I'm almost 75, Jeff, and I've never seen it on this level at all. And I was talking to the pastor about this just a little over a week ago, that I think God has literally given over some of these people to a reprobate mind. Mm-hmm. Now, and the Bible describes that in the book of Romans. I believe that these people have gone so far that I'm not saying they can't be saved. I'm not saying that they can't have their lives changed by the power of God. But that these people have gone so far off the deep end, and they cannot see the trees for the forest. They cannot see what's in front of them. And then there's a group of people that I believe really loves God and loves this country. And they're praying for God to do something great. So this is a war. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on, in our country. And so I think there's always going to be the enemy. I think there's always going to be those that hate us. And, you know, I tell people all the time when I'm talking about real revival that this world does not love our God. This world does not love our Jesus. This world does not love our Bible. This world does not love our church. Matter of fact, there's people in the world that would just soon chop our heads off of our shoulders than to hear us mention the name of Jesus. And so we're always going to have that. But there's others that I pray that God can open their eyes and they can see truth and understand what's real and what needs to really happen in this country. And at the same time, I don't think it's time for compromise. I don't think it's time for you and I to be backing up and apologizing.
Right.
I don't think it's time for you and I to, it's now time for us to be who and what we're supposed to be, salt and light and what God intended for us to be. And so I think that we can pray hard for revival, and that's our only hope, real genuine revival in these last days, for there to be a great move of God, to be a great awakening. And I think I've seen some bits and pieces of possibilities of some of this happening, even on our college campuses. And it could very well be, Jeff, that God will use the young people of America to bring this country back to him. And I'm talking about even some of these secular universities they just had a big crowd in Auburn, at Auburn University, and numbers of other places are seeing tremendous. Of course, Charlie Kirk is getting on these college campuses, and
right,
these kids are listening to him. So I'm thinking maybe there's a possibility God could go that direction. He'll always use the church. He's never going to do anything without the church, without the local church. And so that's why we need to stay in tune. If God's going to do something these last days before the trumpet sounds, I want to be out on the playing field. I don't want to be sitting on the bench. I don't want to be the spare tire in the trunk of the car. I want to be involved, whatever it is that God's going to be doing.
Amen to that. Tim, you travel around, speak at a lot of different churches. What would you say is the pulse right now of the church?
For the most part, there's exceptions, of course, but for the most part, I sense a hunger. I've been doing this. I've been on a pastor for 5 years, but I've been an evangelist now for 47 years. And so I've seen these things change. But right now, I sense a hunger. And I really believe that I sense it with pastors. I sense it with people that they want and desire God to do something in our generation. And so I just pray that it's not too late. I don't think it is. I believe God's still on the throne. I believe, as you read a while ago, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. And the main thing I think of that verse that I tell people that we need to understand, God said, he taught us that if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, and then we don't mind those first three things too much, humble, pray, seek. But then it's the fourth thing. He said, and turn from their wicked ways. Who turned from their wicked ways? The liberal politician? No. The prostitute? No. The abortionist? No. The homosexual? No. The drug addict? No. The pornographer? No. Who turned from their wicked ways? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Mm-hmm. As you said, we're in desperate need of God healing our land.
Tim, what would you say to the pastor that feels like he can't mention a lot of things going on in the country right now as far as Donald Trump and a return to law and order and moral sanity? I mean, as you said, 5% of what Trump is doing, maybe you disagree with, and that's maybe in his rhetoric. But as far as returning the nation to sanity and justice and those kinds of things, I don't know how anyone can't get behind that. But there's some. Go ahead.
Now, and he's not. You know, he's not running from the spiritual crowd. Matter of fact, he's drawing the spiritual crowd. He wants Christians around him. I tell people, yes, we didn't nominate or elect a Sunday school teacher. We didn't elect a pastor to be the president. But I want to tell you what, Pastor Jeff, he has surrounded himself with people who love the Lord. He has surrounded himself. I'm a member at Presbyterian Baptist Church in Dallas, and he hired our associate pastor, Scott Turner, to work in his administration. And Scott Turner loves the Lord, and there are numbers of people in that administration who love Jesus. He's not running from that. He's surrounded himself with those kind of people. It ought to make Christians rejoice that we've got a president like this in the White House. And still understand it. He's not a Sunday school teacher. He's not a pastor. He says words and uses things that I sometimes cringe a little bit, but at the same time, I know he's not my pastor. He's my president.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Okay, so on the left, I'm going to play a clip from Hakeem Jeffries, one of the leaders of the Democrat Party. It seems to me that all they have to promote is fear and dread and Donald Trump threat to our democracy. America's going to, you know, fold like a cheap suit if we keep going in this direction. This is what he had to say.
Of the health care of the American people. It is outrageous that Donald Trump and congressional Republicans are trying to enact the largest cut to Medicaid in American history. They will hurt families, hurt children, hurt seniors, hurt women, hurt veterans, and hurt disabled Americans. Hospitals will close, nursing homes will shut down, and people will die. This budget that Republicans are trying to jam down the throats of the American people at the direction of Donald Trump is unconscionable, unacceptable, and un-American. And Senate Democrats and House Democrats are going to do everything possible to stop this.
All right, that was Hakeem Jeffries. It seems to be a broken record of, it's terrible, it's horrible. How do you see that?
Yeah, that's all they've got, is criticism. They trying to throw cold water. They don't have a plan. They don't have anything to offer the American people. That's why Congress, Democrats' approval is at 17%, the lowest in my lifetime. And the American people see through them. They talk this stuff. It is every day. Every day they march out 30 or 40 liberal progressives to criticize Donald Trump. That's all they do. They don't have a plan. They can't offer anything. And you know, they said, he's going to knock people off Social Security. The only people that's getting knocked off Social Security are those people that are 150 years of age and older. They're getting knocked off. Them old people, them real old people, they're not going to get Social Security anymore if they're 150 years of age and older. And it's absolutely, it would be funny. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so serious. These guys have lost their ever-living mind. That's why they lost the election. That's why they lost every swing state in the last election. And that's why they're going to continue to lose, because they do not have a plan. All they can do is criticize and find fault. And that's the crowd that called Jesus his biggest problems in his earthly ministry, were the Pharisees and those fault finders. That's all they went to church for, was to find fault. And that's what these people remind me of.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let me play you this clip. This was on Laura Ingraham's program. This was Trump on, I believe it was Tuesday night, talking to a crowd.
Democrats have vowed mass invasion and mass migration. We are delivering mass deportation, and it's happening very fast.
Okay, Tim, as a as an evangelist, as a believer, as somebody that travels around and talks to people about their souls and wanting them to come to Christ, how do you deal with the folks that say, well, Tim, you should be against deportation because we love these people and we need to be ministering to these people and giving to these people, and they're just good folks trying to find a better way for their families? What is your response to that?
Yeah, it's an easy answer. Without laws and without borders, you do not have a country. And you will have anarchy, you will have destruction, and then you will have socialism, then you will have communism, and then Christians will be silenced, and there will be no voice. You will not have an opportunity. So my deal is that these people should go back out. President Trump has said that many of these people can come back in if they come back in legally, and if they're not hardened criminals and they're not deranged and, you know, belong in an insane asylum somewhere. These other countries, Venezuela and others, have sent us their worst people. They want rid of these people because they put them in their societies, so they're sending them to America. Right now, President Trump is getting rid of the meanest of the mean. They get rid of the most horrible ones, the ones who rape children, the ones who murder people, the ones who have violated our laws. And so, you know, you can be a Christian, you can love people, and still do the right thing. And truth of the matter is, most of those countries where these people come from, we have American missionaries in those countries. But the governments of those countries need to understand that they could help a lot of problems themselves in their country. They would become a nation of laws, and they would become a nation of trying to honor God and honor the Bible. If they could bring that into their country, they could see God's blessings on their country. America doesn't have a monopoly on God's blessings, and these other countries see God's blessings on their country, but they got to seek God too. And so I don't have any problem with it. It's not a hard fix, and it's not a hard question. Just do the right thing.
Mm-hmm, for sure. We have 2 minutes left, Tim. What would you tell the person that's listening that says, what can I do to make a difference in America, especially on this day, the National Day of Prayer?
Yeah, let's pray hard today. I'm speaking a national, we're actually doing an event this evening. Most of these events are done during the daytime, but we're trying to get family members to come. I'm doing an event here in Garland, Texas tonight. That pray, but don't stop praying after today. I really believe that prayer is the key. Prayer is the answer. Oswald Chambers said that prayer does not lead us to the greater work. He said prayer is the greater work, and that we need to pray. You have little prayer, you have little power. You have more prayer, you have more power. You have much prayer, you have much power. And we need the power of God. We need God's anointing on our families, on our churches. We need God's anointing on our president. We need God's anointing on America. And so I just want to encourage people, get on your face somewhere today by yourself, get in your prayer closet, you and God, and talk to God about your family. Talk to God about your church. Talk to God about yourself, and repent of your own sins. And don't just repent of your nation's sins, but repent of your own sins. Let's turn back to God, and let's see this spirit of revival in our generation. I do believe before the trumpet sounds, I'm not saying anything has to happen before Jesus comes back, but I do personally believe there could be a great outpouring of God's spirit in the last days before the trumpet sounds. And like Amen. I said a while ago, if God is going to do something big in these last days, I want to be in on it.
Amen. Marine Tim Lee, thank you for being my guest. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Pray for our nation. Pray for revival. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.